Today's scripture reading comes from the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 1, beginning with verse 26. The Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 1, beginning with verse 26. Hear now these words. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent to God by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. He came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit shall come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. And now your Elizabeth, relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greetings, the child leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there be fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely, from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him, from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has strengthened the proud and thought of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his miracle, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and his descendants forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months, and then returned to her home. My friends, it's the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. All right. So we continue our journey to Bethlehem. So last Sunday we had our first encounter with Zechariah in the temple. The angel Gabriel appears to him and says, "Zechariah, your prayer has been answered. Your wife Elizabeth is going to have a son. He'll be filled with the Holy Spirit. You name him John. And his job is what the prophet Malachi has talked about. He's going to come in the spirit of Elijah. He's going to lead a great revival, turn the hearts of the fathers and the son." And then Zechariah asks a very dumb question. So, "Well, how can that be? You know, I'm old and my wife's old too." And that upset the angel very badly. He said, "Well, my name is Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. I was sent here to tell you this. But because you didn't believe, sir, you will not be able to speak until after the child is born." And so poor Zechariah comes out. the people were outside the temple praying and wondering what happened to Zach. And so Zach came out, had to do his sign language. Our friend Clint back there did a rendition for us. And he goes home afterwards and gets off work. And soon afterwards, his wife, Elizabeth, becomes pregnant. And she does some social isolation. She goes into hiding. And she kind of laughs and says, "The Lord has shown me favor after all these years of disgrace." And I talked about last Sunday about how, no, Zechariah didn't believe the Lord's word. Doubted it. But Elizabeth seemed, she was ready to rock and roll with it. Well, today we're going to look at one of Elizabeth's relatives. And so, 6 months into Elizabeth's pregnancy, Gabriel, being the messenger boy, the mailman, he goes to deliver a message down to Nazareth. Now, Nazareth is not in Judea. It is located in the region called Galilee. And Nazareth has a kind of a rough reputation. You may recall later on in John's Gospel when Philip goes to Nathanael and says, "Philip, we found a Messiah. It's a guy named Jesus of Nazareth." And Nathanael says, "Nazareth. Can anything good come from Nazareth?" I don't know. Maybe in your community, that'd be like Calhoun. Can anything good come from Calhoun? Or whatever town it is, you think it's kind of sketchy. And you know, a little small. That was Nazareth, okay? Quit laughing, Deborah. Now, so he appears to Mary and says, "Greetings, favored one." You know, no, Ave Maria, Hail Maria. And says, "The Lord is with you." No. And Mary says, was perplexed, like, "Well, you know, what's this about? You know, what's going on?" And then Gabriel says the thing the angels are always saying, "Don't be afraid." You know, again, if you met an angel, it would be a precious moments angel. It would be a person who stands in the presence of God, is very holy, very powerful, full of light. And it would be so otherworldly, it would take you by surprise. And he says, "Don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus." Now, Mary, this read is a Greek version for the Hebrew name Miriam, Moses' big sister, a prophetess, very important. So if you're wondering why there's so many Marys in the New Testament, because Miriam is a very popular name. And Jesus is actually the Greek version of the name Joshua, about God saves, okay? Remember Joshua at the Battle of Jericho. So he will be great, he'll be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. So in other words, if you took Jesus and did that 23andMe or Ancestry.com and search his family tree, he go all the way back to King David, as in David and Goliath, the warrior. David as in the 23rd Psalm author. David as the man who was king for about 40 years. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. And then Mary asked a question, and I don't think because she doubted, because this talks about how she believed, but I think she asked a question that's like, "I believe this, but I'm about... No, I want some clarification." She said, "No, how can this be since I'm still a virgin?" Okay? Because I think Mary thought, "I think I'm hearing this correctly, but I'll just make sure, no. Because this is all going down before I get married." At this point, no, she's what be in our culture today, she was engaged. She has a fiancé, Joseph, her fiancé. And here's the response. The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God." And I was reading that, and I was thinking about how around my birthday, I got this package in the mail. I kind of had an idea who it's from, but it was this package, and it was called the Keys to Heaven. Okay, it was a homemade package that somebody made. It's like this booklet, and when it's not pouring down rain, we'll say, "I'll have to bring it in so you guys can look at it." But I was flipping through it, and I thought, well, this sounds pretty accurate so far, so good, you know. But I kind of curious, like, here in the world, I mean, there was no return address, anything. I did a little Sherlock Holmes, it did get mail from Athens, okay, so post office. And I thought, well, who sent this to me, you know? But then I got to the part where it's talking about Jesus, okay? And talk about how, in this little package somebody sent me, this little homemade book, the names of the Father and the Holy Spirit are titles for Jesus. And I thought, aha, here's my clue. This is someone who does not believe in a Holy Trinity. Because they have mushed all those together, okay? So I have an idea what kind of background they're coming from. Well, the word Trinity does not appear in the New Testament, that's true. But the concept appears over and over and over and over and over again. The best example I can give you visually is actually in our stained glass window back there next to Josh. Right. There we had the baptism of Jesus. That's a beautiful example of Trinity. You have God the Father looking down from heaven upon the newly baptized. You had Jesus, the Son of God, coming out of the water, who has been baptized. Not because he needed it, but he was doing it as an example for us to follow. Now, I'll begin that more in a few weeks on Baptism Sunday. And then you have the Holy Spirit descending from the Father down to the newly baptized in the form of a dove. That's your Trinity. Now, later on in the upper room, you know, during Holy Week, Jesus elaborates about the coming of the Holy Spirit, says, I'm leaving, but I'll send you another. Now, obviously, if he's leaving the building and someone else is coming in, they can't be the same person now, can they? And then you may recall how Jesus told Nicodemus, John chapter 3, for God the Father so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. But then, talking to the disciples of the Holy Spirit, he said, I'll send you another, the Helper, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom the world cannot receive. So we see that the God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit are three distinct personalities of the Trinity. So what's the deal is that you have God the Father, he sent the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit came upon Mary, and that is how she conceived. And that's how Jesus is born, and that's why he's the Son of God, okay? And a little while ago, Herb said that very nicely when he was leading us in the Creed. Now, Jesus, he was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, okay? Now, very, very important, because that is, I feel like, it's kind of a concrete foundation for our understanding of Jesus. Now, and so Jesus, you know, was not brought in this world by Mary and Joseph. He's brought in by the power of the Holy Spirit working through Mary. So a lot of times we talk about the virgin birth, but it'd be more accurate if we talk about the virgin conception. Okay? Do a little biology there. So Mary's hearing about the Holy Spirit, how this is going to work. And then Gabriel says, oh, by the way, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. Remember last Sunday, that last verse where she talked about the disgrace been taken away from me? Because folks looked at her and thought, well, there's Elizabeth barren, you know, never had any kids. And now she's 6 months pregnant. And in verse 37, for nothing will be impossible with God. That is a key verse right there. Nothing you can come up with is impossible for God. And what did Mary say? Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word. You know, I remember sometimes growing up, I've heard preachers give their testimony, and they would talk about how I fought the call, and I fought the call, and I fought the call, and I couldn't fight anymore. I gave up. Well, that's not really anything to be bragging about. The right response is what Mary said. Here I am. I mean, we didn't have a song about that, don't we? Here I am, Lord. Send me. Now, remember the prophet Isaiah? Whom shall I send? Isaiah said, here I am, Lord. Send me. The right response is not to argue with God about it, like Moses did for three chapters. The right response is to do what Mary did in one verse. Here I am, Lord. You gave me the orders. Let's do this. And so the angel left, and not only did the angel left, Mary left too. Mom, I'm going to visit Cousin Elizabeth. I'm going to take a little vacation, go up to Judea, visit Miss Elizabeth, okay? Because remember, no one's really seen Elizabeth. She's been, you know, in social distancing, you know, isolation, okay? And so Mary comes in, and if you ever see the 1977 TV miniseries, Jesus of Nazareth by Franco Zeffirelli, that is a great miniseries, about 6 hours long. No, so it's epic, but I remember this scene I thought was staged really well. Mary comes in, and here's Elizabeth coming down the stairway, and then at one point she pauses herself, and then Mary's eyes get this big, like, it's true, you know. And so Elizabeth, here's Mary greeting, so Elizabeth, like, Elizabeth, you know. And all once, little John the Baptist, 6 months, John the Baptist in the womb there is so excited, he leaps for joy, you know. And Elizabeth gets filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaims a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me?" Okay. So I know there are some faith traditions that put a lot of emphasis on Mary, and they overdo it. But it is accurate to refer to Mary as the mother of our Lord. That is accurate. I can go along with that, check. Because she is the mother of our Lord, Jesus Christ. And then she said, "Mary, as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy." And listen to verse 45. "And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." You say, well, Zechariah didn't believe, and he lost his voice for 9 months. Mary believed. And so Mary didn't lose her voice. She found her voice. And so she breaks out into a song. And the song we did this morning is called The Worship, and I read it again. No, "My soul magnifies the Lord." This is often called the Magnificat, because that word magnifies. "My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he looked with favor of lowliness on his servant. Surely from now on, all generations will call me blessed." And so there's nothing wrong by referring to her as the Blessed Virgin, the Blessed Mother, because she was blessed. She was blessed. God chose her, not out of anything she'd done. It was God's grace and favor to be the mother of the Messiah. "For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation." Now that comes from the Ten Commandments, where God talks about, "I'm a jealous God, and I punish the second and third generation." And he says, "I bless thousands of generations of those who worship me. He has shown strength in his arm. He has scattered the proud and the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from the thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty." In other words, Mary said, things are going to be a little different. Those you thought were powerful will be brought down, and the humble are about to be lifted up. "He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to descendants forever." Remember, way back in Genesis, God promised Abraham, "Abraham, I'll bless those that bless you, curse those that curse you, and through you all nations shall be blessed, for you'll be the father of many nations." Well, how's that going to happen? Well, it's real simple, Abraham. You and Sarah will have a son named Isaac. Isaac will have a son named Jacob. Jacob will have 12 kids, 12 tribes. Out of them form a Jewish nation. From them will come Moses and the Ten Commandments, King David and the Psalms, the prophets. And most poorly, at the very end of the line, will come Jesus, the Messiah, who will die for the sins of the world. That's how you, Abraham, will be a blessing to the whole world. It's through you, the Messiah, the Redeemer of the world, is coming. That was a promise God made. And then we had Malachi, and then 400 years, silence. And then now that silence, God says, time to start fulfilling some promises. And here comes along John the Baptist and Jesus. Now, if you were to ask somebody back then and say, now, who are the most two powerful people in the world right now? Ask any good Jewish guy, He probably said, well, it has to be Emperor Caesar Augustus over in Rome. And then it has to be King Herod the Great down in Caesarea or Jerusalem, depending on what time of the year it was. No, the puppet king. Those are the two that they're the most powerful. They get the power. They get the army, the military, the finances. But reality, though, is what Mary said, the powerful has been brought down. The two most powerful people, the two that want to change history of mankind, was not Emperor Caesar Augustus in Rome and King Herod in his palace in Caesarea or Jerusalem. It would be an old lady outside of Jerusalem, Judea. And it would be a teenager in a small village of Nazareth. Those are the two that are going to turn the tide of human history. So their two characters became footnotes in history. They'll be read about in the history books. These two, however, set in motion events that changed the world. For Elizabeth would give birth to John the Baptist, and Mary would give birth to Jesus the Messiah. The fate of human civilization did not rest with two men in their palaces. It rested with two ladies in their homes. Elizabeth of Judea, and Mary of Nazareth. Thanks be to God. Amen.